Right now, it's always my favorite time. Coming back to in on a Monday morning, I love to cook. I love food, and I love to talk to Arthur Schwartz, and that's what we do every Monday morning at this time. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, joins us here on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning, Arthur.
It's really warm here. It's 21.
Wow.
Already. But I'm not going out. I've been indoors for so long between COVID and weather that I'm actually quite anxious about leaving the house. So I decided I needed to have a project, a cooking project for today. I haven't really had a cooking project in a couple weeks, and this will occupy at least the first half of the day. I have a serious craving for Boston cream pie. Now, that was a favorite of mine as a youth because it was my father's favorite, and I have a thing for custard. If you're not familiar with Boston cream pie, it is basically a yellow cake or sponge cake filled with custard, stovetop custard, and then iced on top and allowed to drizzle down some kind of chocolate icing, ganache. There are several possibilities here. I could have looked this up. The Boston cream pie was, in fact, invented in Boston at the Parker House, where we get the rolls from, Parker House rolls. And I'm not sure if they're famous for anything else, but they don't need to be. I mean, between Parker House rolls and Boston cream pie, that's enough. So, and it's called pie, even though it's cake, because originally it was baked in a pie plate. So, in fact, the one that I grew up eating from the bakery around the corner the top layer was smaller than the bottom layer. Did they bake it in a pie plate? I don't know. You could do like one layer in a 9-inch pan and the other one in an 8-inch pan, something like that. But, you know, for a home cook, I think it's enough that you just split the, you could bake it in a pie plate and then split it and you get the smaller pieces on top. And that's the Boston cream pie. Of course, it all depends on the cake. You only have three little elements here, custard, cake, and chocolate. So, and you get to choose how you want to do each of these. You could actually buy, if you know where to buy, a good cake for the cake part, and then you just need to make the custard, and the chocolate is easy. So we'll get to that in a minute, but gotta say, it is a project. And I say around the corner, but it's actually, I counted, it's four blocks from me, but it might as well be around the corner. There's a bakery called Dough, D-O-U-G-H, that makes only donuts. This is a bakery that started in Bed-Stuy, and I'm not sure why the original owner gave up the Bedford-Stuyvesant is a neighborhood in Brooklyn. Why they gave up the Bed-Stuy location, which always had a line to get in outside, even before COVID, when you could jam inside this small shop. It was a large bakery with a small retail operation in the front. Anyway, Dough Around the Corner makes a Boston cream pie donut. And if I really wanted to go out today, which I don't, I could just walk. Well, you know, it's not dependable. They're very special donuts, and they don't get baked every single day. And the bakery doesn't open they open at 9. It's early enough. And they certainly do not have them at 9 o'clock in the morning. They don't come around until later in the morning. They have all kinds of weirdo flavors, which I like and don't like, depends. But this is by far my favorite. And it's a $6 donut. It's enough for two people. I could eat one whole one without any problem whatsoever. As I know you could, Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that big. But it's satisfying. So if I was going out, that's what I would do. There's other Boston. I don't know. The universe is telling me I got to do this because Boston cream pie keeps coming up over and over again, including on TV. I saw two different cooking shows that were doing Boston cream pie. One of them was Trisha Yearwood. Do you know Trisha Yearwood?
Oh, yeah.
She's the country western singer. Do we say country western anymore, or we just say country? I don't know. Maybe she's just country and forget the western. And she's the wife of Garth Brooks. And she also has a cooking program. And I like her a lot, besides that she's a super talented and seemingly a very nice person. I would cook the food that she cooks. And except I'm not sure I want to make her... she has a recipe online for Boston cream pie cupcakes, all made with packaged products, let's say. Let's call them packaged products, to be kind. And I'm not sure I want to do that one. So I'm going to make this custard, though. The thing is, when I was watching her do this on TV, she said, you know, you could just eat the custard and forget about the whole cake and chocolate, whatever. And fact is, you can. And so I will start out today. And also, the custard's got to chill at least several hours. Now, this is a little trick I learned. I don't know if I learned it from her or not, but when you make your custard, if you put in a tablespoon of butter at the end, you're going to find. Let me find Trisha's recipe here. Anyway, you put in a tablespoon of butter, and it will help the custard to firm up so it doesn't all leak out, which happens. I've done this before. It happens if you make... the custard could be loose in the sense that you don't want it too thickened with cornstarch, but you do want it to hold. So here's Trisha's formula for... the custard that she says, I'm sure she's right, is delicious as it is. You whisk together take a 1-quart saucepan, a small saucepan, and whisk together a half a cup of sugar and 3 tablespoons of cornstarch. I would be careful about measuring cornstarch a little bit one way or the other makes a difference. So do 3 level tablespoons of cornstarch and a half a teaspoon of salt. And you need that all together. By the way, you need salt. I learned this long ago that there's hardly a sweet recipe that doesn't deserve some salt. So you mix that all together. I use a whisk. And then with your whisk, you need 3 egg yolks and 1 whole egg and 2 cups of milk, whole milk. Do not skimp here. Do not use skim milk, 1%, 2%. I guess you can get away with 2%. Whole milk is about 4%, a little under. 2 cups of milk. And this is all now whisked together in your 1-quart saucepan. Put it on over a medium heat and keep stirring slowly with your whisk, uncovered, of course, until the custard thickens. This takes some time. It could take 10 minutes or even more. As soon as it thickens up, it's really going to be thick, take it off the heat, stir in your vanilla, which you definitely need, a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and I would also add to Trisha's recipe one tablespoon of butter, no more than that. You don't need more than that. Pour it into a bowl, and then put a piece of parchment paper, plastic wrap, wax paper, over the surface. I like plastic because it really snugs in at the edges there. Put it directly on top of the custard and then let it cool to room temperature and then refrigerate it for several hours. So that's why I'm going to make that this morning. I mean, if I have to lick the pot a little bit in the spoon, it'll be breakfast. The cake, you can go online and find so many cake recipes. You can even find Trisha's cake recipe. And you basically need a 9-inch cake. So whether you're putting it into a pie pan, I have a metal pie pan that is actually perfect for this. I guess a Pyrex pie dish is good too, especially if you have a deep dish one, because this is going to be a thick layer that's going to bake. And then when you get your bake a layer, let it cool thoroughly. This is another thing people who aren't regular bakers don't understand. These cakes really need time to come together. And yes, it's going to be very delicious right out of the oven, but you don't want to do that. I'm trying to think of a cake that I bake that is good right out of the oven, and there are none. They're all better that evening or the next day even. So in this case, you can bake the cake a day ahead and make the custard a day ahead and then assemble it when you're going to eat it. So divide the cake in half horizontally, fill it with the custard. You should have, a substantial amount of custard. You get 2 cups of milk. And spread it evenly, a nice thick layer of custard. Put the top layer back. And then for the topping, the easiest thing to do is what's called ganache, which is cream with chocolate melted into it. So if you're going to do that, you need a cup of cream and about 1.5 cups, 12 ounces, of chocolate. What chocolate? Your best chocolate, your favorite chocolate. I would use semi-sweet chocolate, but if you like a really dark, bitter chocolate icing, then use a unsweetened chocolate, but that's going to be really bitter. No, semi-sweet, bittersweet. If you like it sweeter, you could add a little milk chocolate. In other words, make a combination. And a cup of cream. You heat the cream, you put in the chocolate, you let it melt, and while it's still warm but not hot, you pour it over the top of your cake and let it sit for at least a couple of hours. Let it all come together. It's best chilled in the refrigerator because you've got custard in there. And let's say, it serves, I don't know, at least 8 people. Or Marshall and me.
That's right. I don't really
have to have this, but it's in my mind and I'm going to do it. I am going to do it.
I like Boston cream eclairs too.
Oh, eclairs, yes. And eclairs, the pastry for eclairs is pâte à choux in French. By the way, my French pronunciation is just terrible. So if I'm going to use French words, please don't laugh at me. One of my favorite things, I learned about this many, many years ago, was making hot chocolate as opposed to hot cocoa. And I think the first place I must have had hot chocolate was at a cafe in Paris called Angelina, which I do believe is still the most famous place for hot chocolate in Paris. It's a 19th century cafe. The last time I was in Paris, which has got to be at least 6 or 8 years ago, it was closed for renovations. So I'm wondering if they've ruined it. But they wouldn't have ruined the hot chocolate. So we went to Angelina, by the way, on that particular trip. Not because we had to have hot chocolate, but because Bob and I were with my mother, and she had to have, God knows why, chicken salad. So we asked a friend who lives in Paris, where can you get chicken salad in Paris? And he sent us to Angelina. And chicken salad at Angelina was an event. It was a bowl of salad, greens, lettuce, a bowl of mayonnaise, made there. It was divine mayonnaise. And a bowl of, or a plate, nicely arranged, I think, with some other garnishes of boned-out shredded chicken. And it was sort of a make-your-own-chicken-salad event. I don't know if any Parisian ever ordered this. It's possible my mother was the first person ever to really ask for chicken salad, and my friend Bruce knew about it because he was like my mother. He would ask for things that were not on the menu, so he knew they could give it to her. So we, of course, ended the meal with the famous hot chocolate, and it is chocolate, not cocoa, and it is made with milk. You basically do nothing but melt semi-sweet chocolate in milk, stirring it slowly over a low heat. If you want to add other ingredients, you can, like, you know, a pinch of cinnamon is nice. Actually, these days, everybody loves hot pepper with chocolate, so I would put in the milk, as I'm heating the milk, I would put in maybe a pinch of hot pepper flakes. You can add some sugar if you want it sweeter, and brown sugar. I have several kinds of brown sugar in the kitchen, and I've been playing with them lately when I need a little bit of sugar. And the one that I find that is really intriguing is this brown sugar from Jamaican brown sugar. In the store, they call it Jamaican brown sugar, and I buy it in a supermarket that caters to Caribbean people, so they use it. I'm not sure exactly how, but I bought it and I use it. It's like a rock. It's not rock sugar, but it's lumps of sugar. I would say in the category of flavor, in the category somewhere between light brown and dark brown sugar, except it has a particularly molassesy taste. So I like that, especially with chocolate. So I'd put a little bit. You know, for 2 cups of milk, I would say you don't really need more than a teaspoon or two of sugar. And this all depends, of course, on the chocolate you're using. So there's a lot of good chocolate out there these days. I mean, I always find I laugh when I see these ratings online of different chocolate products, and things like Nestle's chocolate chips come out top, or Swiss Miss hot cocoa comes out on top. And I think it's because we all grew up eating those things. Now, I was thinking about this morning. Now, you and I, Marshall, at a certain age, grew up eating chocolate chip cookies with Nestle's Toll House chocolate bits. And that chocolate for years came out on the top of and those cookies on the top of people's favorites. But now I see, via my niece and nephew, who are 40-ish, that their taste is different, because my sister, their mother, did not cook with Nestle's. She used to buy fancy chocolate to cook with. So just the other day, Brian, my nephew, baked cookies with his daughters, and they made, then here's another thing that just comes up out of the universe. They made, as does his sister, Rachel, they made Jacques Torres's chocolate chip cookies. I think they're actually called chocolate chunk cookies. I have to go look. But I you know, it sounded foreign to me until I looked at the recipe and remembered, because I used to be friends with Jacques Torres, and he sometimes would bounce things off of me. And he wrote 2 cookbooks, neither of which he actually wrote. But, you know, he did do the recipes. And his chocolate chunk cookies are very, very eccentric. And so as soon as I saw the recipe, I said, oh, I made those. I made those, I don't know, 30 years ago. Apparently, he actually sells a mix now. You can buy his chocolate chip cookie mix. And as he is a Brooklyn company, I bet you I can find it in my local store, because they carry Jacques Torres chocolate around the corner from me. But what's weird about this recipe, by the way, the classic Toll House recipe is also a little strange. If you, it's still, I'm sure, the original is on the back of the Nestle's Toll House cookie chips. It's like a 2 teaspoons, maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe it's a tablespoon of water in the recipe. And I remember once, years and years ago, saying, oh, what do you need this little bit of water for? And I deleted it, and then they weren't the same. So in the case of the Jacques Torres, which, by the way, you can look up this recipe online. I don't know where you buy the mix, but let me just say that this is like one of the most famous chocolate chip recipes on the Internet. I see it's like all over the place. And it has you basically aging the cookie dough. He tells you to chill it for up to 3 days. He says it can, you can use it all up, but you can also just, you know, like basically You chill it for a day, you take off some dough, you bake it off, and you leave the rest in the refrigerator. And when you need a cookie, all you do is you take off some dough and you bake it for 18 to 20 minutes. And, you know, that's pretty instant gratification, I would say. But the recipe doesn't make that many cookies, so it seems to me it only makes, like, I don't know, a couple dozen cookies. So you should probably just do it all together, and they hold up pretty well for several days. And the other thing that's eccentric about the recipe is that he calls for 60% dark chocolate discs. So he also sells, I got to say, dark chocolate discs. But there are other chocolate companies that sell dark chocolate discs. If you look for them now, Whole Foods must have them. You can buy everything online. You can buy Jacques Torres' brand online too. So I recommend this recipe. It's a sensational recipe, and that's why it's all over the internet. So today's a chocolate day.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
You know, I'm thinking maybe we don't need the cake part. How would the custard be with chocolate ganache on it?
It would be superb.
Like a sundae.
I used to love Boston cream pie and chocolate eclairs with a nice ice cold glass.
It's the custard.
Yeah.
So, you could have, like, store-bought cookies with that custard and some chocolate.
And,
or how about ladyfingers?
Ice cold milk.
A glass of milk.
Yeah, ice cold. Ice cold.
Ice cold. No, I have to have an all-chocolate chocolate cake for that. Although I'm trying to think, when I ate the Boston cream donut from dough, what did I drink with it? I think I had tea.
You know, what's funny, my grandmother used to make lemon pie with the whipping on top, and I would take the whipping off, and then I'd eat the lemon. But Boston cream pie, nope. It all had to go in together with the crust and everything.
Now, I have a very fond memory of a bakery in Goshen. I think it was either Christie's or Christian's. Does this ring a bell? When I lived in Cornwall, I heard that a baker from Brooklyn had moved to Goshen. So I checked him out, and he wasn't just a baker. It was like a diner or coffee shop. He made sandwiches, and of course you could get coffee. And then he had cakes and cookies, I guess a whole array of baked goods. But he was from Brooklyn. Or he baked in a bakery in Brooklyn, where I knew they had very good Boston cream pie. So I went to the place in Goshen, and sure enough, that was one of his specialties, although he didn't have it out that day. And he said, oh, when you want Boston cream pie, you call me ahead and I'll make one, which I did. More than once. But that doesn't ring a bell, Marshall, huh?
No.
It may have been very short-lived.
Yeah, no,
and it's also probably 30 years ago.
No, it doesn't ring a bell to me.
Yeah, but, you know, since you're an old-timer.
I am.
And, yeah, that I figured, I'm pretty sure it was in Goshen. 99%. Okay, so custard it is. See, one of the reasons I want to make Boston cream pie today is that I have all the ingredients in the house. It's not a hard thing to have. If you have a little chocolate in the house, it's the only thing you probably might be missing is some good chocolate. But I'm never missing good chocolate. I have several in the cupboard here. I don't have cake flour. And I think the best cake for this would be made with cake flour. But I'm going to do a little research about which cake I'm going to use. I'll either find one that uses all-purpose, which I have, or I will take some of the flour out of an all-purpose recipe. There is a formula for changing from cake flour to all-purpose flour. Cake flour has less gluten than all-purpose flour. So you end up with a more tender product. That's why it's called cake flour. And it's milled very fine.
All right.
Well, I don't know. Valentine's Day is coming up, folks, the chocolate day. That was another reason that I thought the universe was pointing me towards hot chocolate and chocolate cream pie. And I'm not going to bake a chocolate cake. I think the Boston cream pie will scratch that itch.
Yeah, when I lived in Kingston, New York, there was a pharmacy called Nico's Pharmacy. And every Valentine's Day, they made on-site, in the window, in the front of the pharmacy, chocolate bunnies and chocolate-covered cherries. And it was so interesting to watch them make the chocolate and eat the chocolate and make the bunnies and stuff like that. Really was a it no longer exists like anything else nowadays. But it was just it was part of a tradition when you went into Valentine's Day or when you went into Easter, where they would just make chocolate and chocolate things right in front of the store.
Wow, I don't know what's become of it. I know it still exists in some form. But do you remember lilac chocolate?
Oh yeah,
on Christopher Street in the Village. I think they still exist somewhere, but I'm not sure where. I'll tell you a chocolate that I love is Leonidas. It's a Belgian chocolate, and I confess I recently ordered some online, and it was expensive, but it was well worth it. I hid it. I had a few pieces, and then I hid the box. It comes in this gorgeous, gold, as the Belgians do, box. I hid it and so well that I forgot where I hid it. And Bob said, "Oh, where's that box of chocolate you bought?" I said, "You know what? I don't know." So we did a little search. We found it. I'll tell you something. The thing that I like that got me into Leonidas chocolate is that I used to buy, and I'm trying to think, there is a shop somewhere in Manhattan, and I used to buy their candied dark chocolate orange peel. I'm just thinking about it. It's giving me a stomach ache because I did overindulge in that frequently. But anyway, orange and chocolate were made for each other.
Chocolate was made for a lot of things.
Good line. And that's and on that note, I will say have a happy chocolate week.
All right, Arthur, and we'll speak to you next week.
Take care.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you're going to hear Arthur every Monday morning in between roughly 7:35 and 8 o'clock, and we go over recipes, and then we post it online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and they're all there from beginning to end, the whole catalog of food maven shows with Arthur Schwartz.